I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. About 14 years ago, I worked with my youth group to paint an icon. And if you don't know what icons is, are, I don't have time to get into it now, but they're kind of funky pictures of Jesus. And I have this big one that I did, and it was in Nashville for years. And then some friends of mine said, hey, nobody wants this here because it's a funky, weird picture of Jesus. Do you want it? And I said, yes. And so they brought it to me, but it was unfinished. There was some stuff that needed to be added still. And so it hung in my office at my house when they brought it in. And it's like, it really is. It's like 6 feet by 4 feet. It's very, very large. It's in my office currently. You can come see it. But the best part was when they brought it in, we hung it up just because it needed to be somewhere. And my daughter did not know it was in there. And so she walks into the office, and it's one of those things where the lights are off and you can't really see what's going on. And she comes in, she flips the switch on, and all of a sudden, Jesus Christ! And we heard it, and we're like, hey, hey, hey! And then I thought, nope, that's on target. That's right. That's on you, Quinn. You get that one. Because that's who it was. But this is a time of year we think about the Christ part of Jesus Christ a lot, right? I mean, this festival we're here celebrating is called Christmas. That's Christmas. And like, there's even people that get out there and get kind of hot and bothered this time of year about keeping Christ in Christmas, right? Have you heard this sensibility? Which actually is a pretty provocative thing to suggest. Because if you really get underneath what this whole Christ thing is about, it starts to meddle in your life. It's not super pleasant. So I figured let's talk about that on Christmas Eve. So here's what I want to do. I want to share some things with you that I think are deeply profound and they matter. I will not always have all of you here. I would love to. But you're here now and I have the microphone. So let's talk about Christ. Then we're going to talk about resentment and forgiveness, and then we're going to talk about the mass part of this thing, because Christmas implicates us in some particular ways. And then if you like that, we'll have communion. So, shall we? Okay. So, first things first. Christmas, as we know, is about getting together around that gospel story from Luke. It's the one you're familiar with. It's the one you would have truly been disappointed had we not read, right? Like, I want my baby Jesus. I want the manger. I want the golden fleece diapers. I want the snow falling down. Like, we want that gospel story of Luke. And that Jesus that's born on the Christmas day in the gospel grows up to be Jesus of Nazareth. He's known as the Nazarene. He is commands this kind of very powerful ministry in his time. He's healing people. He is feeding people. There are like food miracles that happen around him. He is confronting the powers of empire that are oppressing his people in very particular and provocative ways, ways that end up getting him executed as an enemy of the state. He walks on water. There's all kinds of stuff that happen in these Jesus stories. Here's what's really interesting. When the first generation of people that weren't part of the Jesus movement start writing about it, and they start trying to describe it to these new people that are following Jesus, they don't talk about the geography or the miracles or the food or the walking on water. They start talking about the Christ. They use this really particular word. It doesn't show up a lot even in the Gospels, but they're trying to describe something. They're like, you don't understand. Something happened that was bigger than just a political movement. Something happened in this figure of Jesus of Nazareth that is wider, bigger, deeper than we ever could have expected. Here's some of the things they said about it. Ephesians. God made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. 1 Corinthians, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. There's something about this Christ thing with Jesus. It's not his last name. There's something about the Christ that they're saying there is a truth that Jesus of Nazareth disclosed that we had never seen before, but when we saw him, we recognized it's been like that the whole time. Jesus the Christ is disclosing a truth that is not persona-driven or personality-driven. It's not about charisma. Jesus and the Christ that he is showing us something deep about the nature of reality itself, because he's telling us about what God is like. So are you following me on the Christ is this mystery, okay? And it's a mystery that's been around since before time began. It's the most true things that there can be. Jesus of Nazareth discloses this. Okay, but that's not all they say. They also talk about how this Christ was like not just for one tribe, it was for everybody. Again, Ephesians, this mystery, this Christ mystery, is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise that is in Christ Jesus. So like in Jesus's time, there was a kind of a tribal culture. There was his tribe, the Jewish people, and then there were the Gentiles, which was basically everybody else. It was a great category. It kind of captured everything. And so there's something that these early Jesus writers recognized, that what was happening in Christ wasn't just for one tribe, it was for all of the tribes. In fact, it was this recognition that there actually has ever only been one tribe, all of us in this together. We're all connected, and there's something about the Christ that disclosed and made that known and is working us all toward it. No matter what we do to cook up, to divide ourselves, the Christ is moving us toward unity. It's ever-increasing movement toward unity and oneness, because we've always all been in this together. Last thing, there's this Christ, Ephesians says, brings unity to everything. When the times reach their fulfillment, the Christ brings unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. You're going to hear this in the blessing that Sarah prays after communion. There's something else that was going on in Jesus and this Christ mystery, where like the spiritual and the physical, it's being proclaimed that they're not separate. It's all one thing. There is no division between matter and spirit, secular and sacred, all that stuff. No, it's all heaven and earth. All of this is one unified reality soaked in God, and we could see it for the first time ever in Jesus. All right, are you kind of with me? Not what you thought you were going to get on Christmas Eve, I get it. I did mention the golden fleece diapers, right? I mean, I gave you that. Okay, I'll back off the headier stuff. But here's the stuff. So basically, you already know this thing, okay? This is like when you give a gift in this season, you give a Christmas, how many people are going to give a present this season, right? Lots of, some people are like, nope. I'm a receiver, baby. Bring it. Okay. But that thing in you that when you give a gift, it feels good. Like when you're generous, it feels good. Okay? These Jesus writers are like, yeah, it feels good. But because it points to something that is way deeper and truer about the nature of how reality works. Generosity is the natural flow of what God is doing in the world. It's why these Jesus stories capture us. These stories about his grace, mercy, forgiveness, even radical vulnerability, becoming a baby. Those things stir us, and when they stir us, that is the Christ wisdom surfacing in you. That's what's happening. Basically, it's like every cliche that you've ever heard. We're all in this together, one tribe, one unified family. The Christ is here to announce, you're right. It's all true. Now, obviously, you can resist this energy, can't you? Right? You could use your energies and power and influence to exploit divisions instead of bringing people together, right? You could intensify the tribal consciousness that lurks behind human beings and try to separate us fully, right? You could work in ways that not only resisted this, but actively tried to dismantle it. And the Jesus writers are like, yeah, people are going to do it all the time, but you are trying to canoe against the tide. You can resist it for a while, but you will not win. In fact, any efforts to work against this kind of unity and wholeness and recognition of our shared sacred humanity, it is work that is anti to the Christ. Do you recognize that word? Yes. Okay. Are you following me on this? All right. Now, keeping Christ in Christmas, that would mean like we were implicated as being people that worked in the world to move things toward unity, wholeness, health, healing among each other. We would be people that did not buy into polarizations and did not let people make lots of money and gain lots of power by exploiting our divisions. That would be what Christians would do, people that claimed the name of Christ, right? The answer is right, yes, they would. I'm gonna give you a cheat sheet, yes, the answer is yes. So I wanna talk to you about two ways I think this can be helpful and to think about, like, what would you do with this message, right? The first is you would start to think about and process that which you resent. Everyone's talking about how like we're more polarized than we've ever been before as a society. Everybody knows this. It's why things are weird. It's why a lot of you are nervous about what's about to happen after church when you go home and have dinner with your families. I get that. Most of our resentments that we're experiencing right now in our culture or our polarization, it comes from people's really deep-seated and firmly held resentments. That's where a lot of it is surfacing from. Not all of it, but a lot of it. There's a lot of resentment in there. Ambassadors of this Christ, people that kept Christ in Christmas, would not react, exploit, combat resentments. They might try to step back and say, well, if you're resentful, what are you resentful of? Where do you think that resentment comes from? Is this something that, like, I could compassionately listen to what you're trying to say? Are there systems in place that are like routinely exploiting and oppressing you that is generating resentment such that you would act in ways that were desperate and even violent in our society? Ambassadors of Christ would recognize that resentments are real and we can dismantle them through compassion, listening, and love. If you were gonna be interested in keeping Christ in Christmas. Which means the second thing that you have to get really, really good at if you want to walk this path is forgiving people. Forgiving people is like the trick. It's the thing that so many of our most intractable problems that we see culturally or in your families, don't they always go back? Usually you can trace them back. There's a wound that happened and that wound wasn't forgiven, but instead it was repaid. You know, it was sent back across, it was volleyed back over. Here, take this. But maybe this time it's like ticking or has handles or wings. Like, you get this volley of revenge that's ticking back and forth such that the people that end up gathering around this wound, this all they know is the conflict. Forgiveness is a radical and powerful thing, and people that are to be ambassadors of this Christ reality, we work really hard to do it. We work very, very hard to forgive. It's not a one-time thing, it's a lots of times thing. We can talk more about forgiveness, but I wanna put it out there because that is one of the ways you resist becoming part of the resentment engine behind our polarity. You forgive, you let it go. Which is the last part of this sermon. Congratulations, we're at the end. Does anybody know where the word mass comes from in liturgical life? The word mass comes from the Latin dismissal. You'll sometimes hear the Eucharist called mass in other traditions. And dismissal, mass, is meant to indicate that when we get in here to do this work together, it's so we can be sent out there to live it in the world. People that were celebrating Christmas would be people that took the reconciling, whole, love, unity of Christ into the world. They would be challenged. And it's easy to get cynical about this. It's really important that you're here. And honestly, people that don't do church a lot, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome, St. Paul's. But like, we need places we can get together and remind each other the whole thing is not going off the rails. I know you watch the news and it's easy to get cynical. It's easy to give up. It's easy to just be like, good God, like how much more drama and nonsense and theater is gonna go on in our politics? Are we gonna be able to solve our problems? The witness of these early Jesus writers is yes, yes. Don't give up. This whole thing is going somewhere. It's going toward healing. It's going toward oneness. It's going toward redemption. You can be part of it by the choices you make. So let 8 ounce, 6 pound baby Jesus sitting in the manger, little fist balled up. I gotta remember all those Talladega Night lines. Anyway, so I wanna invite you to consider how you might be called to live as an ambassador of the Christ this Christmas. Is there anyone you need to forgive? Is there somebody that you have been holding a grudge against? Is there somebody that hurt you and you have said, I'm never letting them in again? Is there a forgiveness that needs to happen? Is there a resentment that you're carrying and someone's getting the better of you because they can just get under your skin? They know how to needle you. Christmas invites you to let that go and embrace a larger, deeper, wider consciousness that is the Christ. He's here. He comes to us this time every year to remind us that this is where history is going. This is what we are to be about. So let us have courage to keep that Christ in this Christmas. Amen.